ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 10, Text 25. Na avikriya vishvasurit sakhasya samye navita bhimate stavapi Mahadvimana Svagritadhi Madrin Nangshatya Durada Pishula Pani. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. O my dear Lord, you are the friend of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the friend of all living entities. You are therefore equal to everyone, and you are free from the bodily conception. Although I have committed an offense by insulting you, I know that there is no loss or gain for you due to my insult. You are fixed in your determination, but I have committed an offense. You are fixed in your determination, but I have committed an offense. Because of this, even though I may be as strong as Lord Shiva, I shall be vanquished without delay due to my offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. This is the last verse of chapter 10, which rounds up Maharaj Raghuna's prayers, and very soon Jadabharat will begin his upadesh, his instructions to Maharaj Raghuna. So in this last purport, Srila Prabhupada says, Maharaj Raghuna was very intelligent and conscious of the inauspicious effects arising from insulting a Vaishnava. He was therefore very anxious to be excused by Jadabharat. Following in the footsteps of Maharaj Raghugan, everyone should be very cautious not to commit an offense at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Srila Vrindavandas Thakur in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya 13 says, Shulapani samajadi bhakta nindakare, Bhagavata praman tapi shigramare, Hena Vaishnavara Ninda Sarvagya Hoi Sajanera Adapata Sarva Shastra Koi. If one is as strong as Lord Shiva, who carries a trident in his hand, one will nonetheless fall down from his spiritual position if he tries to insult a Vaishnava. That is the verdict of all Vedic scriptures. He also says this in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya 22. Vaishnavara Ninda Karibek Jaragan Tara Raksha Samarthya Nahika Kona Jan Shulapani Samajadi Vaishnavera Ninde Tathapiya Nashajai Kaya Shastra Vrinde Ihanamaniya Jai Sujan Ninda Kare Janme Janme Sai Papishcha Daiva Dosha Mare. One who blasphemes a Vaishnava cannot be protected by anyone. Even if a person as strong as Lord Shiva, if he blasphemes a Vaishnava, he is sure to be destroyed. This is the verdict of all Shastras. If one does not care for the verdict of the Shastras and dares blaspheme a Vaishnava, he suffers life after life because of this. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Discussion Between Jadabharat and Maharaj Raghugana. Hare Krishna. Today also is the disappearance of Srila Srivas Thakur. So, I'll try to link both these purports together, since it describes the effects of insulting or offending Vaishnavas. So here in this last verse, Maharaj Raghuna is saying, Na vikriya vishvasurit sakhasya. O my dear Brahmana, you are the friend of someone who is a friend of everyone. Vishwa Surit. Vishwa is the world. Surit is a Rit is the heart, and Surit is one who knows your heart very well, one who is very close to your heart. That's a very, very close friend. Sanskrit terminology has Mitra, Bandhu, Sakha, but Surit means very intimate. So, Samyena Vita Abhimate Stavapi. He's saying that you, no vikriya, there should not be any reaction because I have insulted you. Why does he say that? He has already understood the exalted position of Jadabharat, this Brahmana, and he says that, although I have committed an offense by insulting you, I know that there is no loss or gain for you due to my insult. This means that in this material world, insult or praise has an effect on us. If somebody insults me, I feel offended. I feel there is a vikriya, there is a transformation. If someone praises me, I feel good. So, those people who live their lives dependent upon getting praise from people in this material world and avoiding insults from other people in this material world, their life is in great danger. Because nobody wants to praise you. Everybody wants to insult you. And as the world goes on in its transformation from Satya Yuga to Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga especially has one special characteristic, and that is harsh speech, Durukti. She is a sister of Kali. So we find, Prabhupada says, at the drop of a hat, there are quarrels. In one purport, Prabhupada says, there is a constant stream of hot and cold wars in this material world. And what is the cause of that? We should just look at the way in which some of the leaders today, the kind of language they use, the kind of insulting words. So therefore, it is rare to meet a person who is very composed in his speech, who is very composed in his demeanor. It takes effort, it takes a lot of cultivation. So especially a Vaishnava is one who is described as, he doesn't care whether the world insults him or the world praises him. And why is that? He is described as a swan which is floating on water. Even more than a swan, a Vaishnava is described as a paramahamsa. A swan has a specific quality, characteristic. It is described in our Vedic literature. We may or may not be able to see it nowadays. But give a swan a mixture of milk and water, and the swan can only take milk out of it. The understanding is, whatever way the world treats us, we should just take the essence out of it. One who has this ability to perfection, he is a paramahamsa. Of course, this title paramahamsa also is abused by anyone. People think that just because you have some mystic powers, you can call him yourself a paramahamsa. Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture, not in front of a very nicely appointed hall, and dignitaries coming in, sitting in front of him, and government people are glorifying him. Thank you, Swamiji, for coming here. Nothing of that sort. He is sitting in Bowery, Bombay's Dharavi. That is New York's Bowery. There are Prabhupada disciples who said, I would never have gone to that place. We are from a very good background in America, we have lived in nice parts. Who goes to that place? So that was the area, practically a slum area. Mukunda Maharaj described once the Bauri as a place where you go there and you are confronted with a smell which is a mixture of beer and urine. That's what they do. They drink and they pass urine in the streets. He said, who could have gone there? And that was the place where Prabhupada was giving his lecture. And of course, the hippies were not respectable people. They were not. They had not come there to take shelter of Prabhupada. So sometimes somebody would say, I would like to say something. And Prabhupada would say, okay, stop. I will speak, then you ask questions. So you had to even cultivate them as to how exactly a satsang should take place. And while this thing is going on, and Prabhupada is speaking of, so everybody in this material world has to render some service. We are all servants. We have to choose service of matter or service of Krishna. And of course, it's a very heavy topic. People cannot understand everything. First of all, how is this Swamiji going to convince us that we are all servants? The hippies were artists, they were musicians, they were producing movies, writing poems. They said, servant? Me? No. So the very word that you are an eternal servant was causing a lot of mental turmoil. And to add to this confusion, a drunkard came in that lecture. A bum, a beggar. He was not properly dressed. He was reeking of alcohol. And he saw that since he entered that room, everyone looked at, started looking at him. And he started saying, oh, no, relax, no problem. So he took from his pocket, and people thinking, what is he going to do now? So he took from his pocket one roll of toilet paper. He put it on the sink. He went inside. He put another roll on the in the bathroom, and he said, oh, I'll be back, carry on. And Prabhupada said, just look at this, he's not in order, he doesn't know exactly what he's doing, but the nature of giving some service is there in him. And first this Swami comes from India and is talking all this completely different subject matter, and then he's relating his message from Vedas to this Bauri bum. It was like too much for people to comprehend. But that is the nature of Prabhupada, that even from, like, somebody might even say, hey, tell him to get out. This is a satsang going on here. You can't come in like that. No. He extracted that understanding and told before people that, look at this, he's doing some service. So that is a Paramhamsa. Whatever Prabhupada could see, he would try to extract the pure religion of the soul. That's how Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes it. So, Maharaj Raghuna is saying that, but I have committed an offense. You won't take an offense, but I have committed an offense. So it's very interesting. A pure Vaishnava doesn't take an offense. But offenders commit offense. And they get heavy reaction. So if this person is not taking an offense, so who gives a reaction? It is said that the devotee may excuse, but Krishna doesn't. Krishna has given this promise that he will protect his devotees. In fact, when Krishna sees that the devotee takes up some weapon, whether a verbal weapon or a physical weapon, to strike at his aggressor, Krishna says, fine, if he is doing on his own, I relax. But when Krishna sees that this devotee is completely helpless, what can he do now? So then he has to act. So it is Krishna in the heart who never ever forgets an offense committed at the lotus feet of a devotee. Chaitanya Bhagavat also describes, just like you are walking on a thorny path and suddenly a thorn goes in your foot. You say, oh! But then you are in a hurry. You have to go somewhere. So you say, okay, I will take it out later. And the whole day goes, you are doing something else. That little piece of thorn is still there in your foot. But just because you are busy, it doesn't mean it is going out. It is there. And you might say, taking out in front of the public from my foot is very embarrassing. I will try to take it out from my shoulder. That's not possible. The thorn has gone in the foot and you have to attend to that foot. So, if you offend someone and you say that, okay, I will talk before the deities, I am very sorry. I will tell my guru that I am very sorry. No. You have to go to that particular Vaishnav whom you have offended and beg forgiveness. It is not sufficient that you can do that from anywhere else. I'll chant a few more rounds. I'll take only prasad. I will read more today. I'll go to some dham. No, nothing else works. So just like that limb has to be attended, similarly that devotee has to be attended. Now I will do that bridge. This offense relates to Shivas Thakur's life, where he also forgave the offense of one Gopal Chapal. This Gopal Chapal was a very envious Brahmin but very envious. He was not allowed in Shivas Thakur's kirtans. So one night, since he was not allowed, before the door of Shivas Thakur's courtyard, outside, he put some various ingredients, some red kumkum, a bottle of wine, and other things. Now, in today's times, if you go and you find a bottle of wine in the streets, in the West, you may see that, oh, somebody is celebrating. In India also, not much surprise. In fact, just today, I had to give someone a bottle of honey. And I had ordered that honey. It was there with me. I never realized. But when I took out that package, I saw that the honey was put in a bottle of country liquor. Even that devotee who gave must not have realized that what kind of receptacle we are using. But that's a norm today. These things are freely available. So, we in the 21st century of this Kali Yuga, we may not really wonder why some Brahmin has to be so worried that red kumkum and some bottle of wine was found outside his courtyard. Just imagine if, like today's terms, it was something like all the things which people used to take drugs, those needles and whatever, we don't even know what they do. But if that is found outside your house, how would people react? But Shivas Thakur, he saw that, he went outside and called all the sajjanas, all the bhadralok, all the respectable brahmanas and said, please have a look. Do you know, this is how I am. You may think I am a very pious person, but actually I am doing all this kind of business. And they were so embarrassed, they were so ashamed. They said, no, Srivas, we know who you are. They immediately cleared it with water, washed it with cow dung, performed some puja. But because of that offense, this Gopal Chapal became a leper. In previous days, lepers, there were no leprosy colonies. They would just have to go out of the village. So Gopal Chapal had to stay outside, beg. You can't do any work. Every day he would see his limbs growing shorter and shorter. And one day when Nimai Pandit had transformed into Krishna Chaitanya as a sannyasi, as the Redeemer, as the Deliverer of all. And as he was passing by, he said, "Oh God, hurry! You are the incarnation for this age. Please help me. You are the most merciful." And Lord Chaitanya, who would be normally most merciful to everybody, he said, "No. Rascal, I am not going to even look at you. You offended Shivas Thakur. Go to him and beg forgiveness. That's the only thing which will help you." So, I was just trying to make a small sort of summary of what Shivas Thakur's position is in Chaitanya Leela. But after 40 minutes, I gave up. There are so many narrations, there are so many pastimes that possibly it cannot be narrated, at least by me. But I just thought I'll just say something mostly for my own purification. So, when we come to Krishna consciousness are introduced to not one, not two, not three, not four, but five aspects of Godhead. Pancha Tattva. Somebody may say, from where this five suddenly sprang up? But it's not completely unknown. Srila Ramanujacharya's Vishishta Advaita philosophy has one very important tenet, important principle, that the Lord has to be worshipped along with His energies. Which are His energies? Right from Rig Vedas, aphorisms, to the Puranas, there are descriptions of the Lord and His energies. Shakti, Shakti Matayor Abheda. Potency and the possessor are one. Parasya Brahmana Shakti. Parasya of the Supreme Lord. This whole thing is an energy. Because we are taking a very different view, we see a rich person as a person who is rich, a famous person as a person who is famous. But in actuality, it is a person and his fame, which is his potency. It is a person and his beauty. It is a person and his knowledge, person and his strength, person and his fame. He enjoys that fame. A weightlifter, when he flexes his biceps, he feels, feels so good. A singer, when he belts out a number and everybody claps, feels happy. My energy is there to save me, serve me. Good. A person, when he sits in front of his treasury, brings out his cash. Do you see the a little bit of glee or bliss on the face of someone who is counting his money? I was just in Jaipur and we were talking with some businessmen and suddenly someone came and gave a big load of cash. And while we were discussing, the negotiations were a bit grave. But as soon as that thing came up, a twinkle came in the eye. So that bliss, it shows that potency. Oh, I'm getting more. So that is the correct understanding of a person and how he enjoys his energies. So God is a person and he has multifarious energies. Why should he have one or two only? In fact, while debating with some Christians, they would say, "Christ is the only Son of God." And Prabhupada said, "God, you agree, is all powerful? Unlimited?" "Yes." "So why only one son?" He said, "No, but it is said he is the only son." He said, I'm not debating that fact at all. What I'm saying is, the unlimited God can create unlimited sons and they have more than one son. So why he only has only one son? No answer. So mostly Prabhupada's argument would be from common sense. Or as some people of the Islamic faith say, our prophet is the last. Why last? The world is going on. Prophet should also come. It's not that it is all dead and gone or God has given up. So these are some inconsistencies. So therefore, Panchatattva is not an aberration, it is not an irregularity. The understanding of Panchatattva can be found if we understand that God has His energies. So Krishna, Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam. Here we have Krishna as the source of all these energies. Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam. Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. So Krishna comes as He Himself. Bhakta Avatar is Advaita Acharya. The personality on the extreme left here is Advaita Acharya. Swarupakam, His own manifestation, is Nityananda Prabhu. Bhakta Shakti is second from right, Gadadhar Pandit. And Bhakta Akhya, known as the devotee, that is Srila Shivas Pandit. Shivas Pandit is the only Jiva Tattva in his whole Panchatattva manifestation. Others are not Jivas. They are Vishnu or Krishna himself. Narad Muni, the very famous Devarshi, he incarnates as Shivas Thakur. And he also has a very nice intimate friend, Parvat Muni. Parvat Muni comes as his brother, Sri Ram. So Srivas, Sri Ram, Shripati, Sri Nidhi, these are the four brothers. And just like our dear departed Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, he always used to repeat one particular theme, that the Lord decides to enact His pastimes in this material world before He goes, an advance party goes. When He comes, some of His servants come, and when He leaves, after that, another party comes, or depending upon the need. So He said, this happens with Krishna, happens with Lord Chaitanya, and He said, also happens with Prabhupada. In fact, in one Vyas Puja celebration in Mayapur, Jananivas Prabhu, Pankajangri Prabhu, they both were there, and He was telling that, just seeing these two brothers, I am convinced that Prabhupada has brought them along with His Leela. And after Prabhupada's departure, many others also come. But I know for sure that some personalities, they came right at the time to assist Srila Prabhupada. As we all know, when devotees were discussing that Prabhupada wanted a big temple, Radha Madhav deities, and devotees said, who's the pujari? At that time walked in Jananivas Prabhu, who was a spiritual seeker, originally from Britain, traveling all over India. The moment he entered the room, Prabhupada says, here is the pujari. He is still. But of course, Jananivas Prabhu interrupted that speech and he said, so what Maharaj is describing is about himself. We know from his activities that he is also one of those who has come to assist Srila Prabhupada specifically for spreading his mission. And of course then they went on back and forth, no, yes, no, yes. So this always happens. So Srivas and his brothers, they came much before Lord Chaitanya's advent. They were staying in what is now in Bangladesh, Shilet or Srihatta, that part. Very pious, very devoted. Right from their birth, they were devoted to Krishna. But they were very sorry seeing the state of Navadeep, seeing the state of Bengal at that time. But knowing that the Lord will advent, they then came from Shilet to Navadeep. And after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas and went, they took residence at Kumarhatta. So, the place where where Shivas Thakur built his house, today is called Kola Bhanga Danga. The place where the Mridanga was broken. by the Qazi's servants. In fact, that small courtyard, now when we go to Mayapur, we may see on our, as we go to Mayapur Dham, on our left side, is the Rasa Sthali. Ras is performed in Vrindavan, many areas. There is Vansivat, there are many places on the banks of Jamuna, there is Govardhan. But that same Rasa Leela is performed in Lord Chaitanya's Leela in Shivas Thakur's courtyard. Different ragas are used, the Mahamantra is chanted, but that is the that specific place. Lord Chaitanya Nityananda Prabhu would dance. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya, when he used to dance, both his feet would be in the air. Sometimes it would be very light. Sometimes suddenly it would become very heavy. It would appear as if the earth would tilt. Now these are not poetic descriptions. These are from realized souls. Sometimes when they would come together and they would crash against each other, and devotees would just amazed to see what kind of this performance is. So the same ecstatic mellows which were completely distributed and relished by Krishna and millions of gopis were relished by Lord Chaitanya and his followers for one full year. So naturally, when all these kinds of dancing and singing and laughter is going on, people outside would be wondering what's happening inside. So Shivas Thakur, as the marginal potency, as the jiva, he also exhibits what is the behavior of a devotee. There are these three specific personalities. I just decided to bring them together. We don't have much time. There is Shivas Thakur's mother-in-law. There is a milk-drinking brahmachari, and there is a common servant in his house. We are not even told what kind of occupation these personalities had. But it seems that in India, you really don't need to work like a donkey all day just in order to have something. But some land, some income, some family servants, that was a norm in those days. Any respectable person would have a few servants in his house. Nowadays, if you say, why don't you keep a servant? You say, oh, I can't afford it. Like our Govindrabhu has come from the West. There, even the father gets his hair cut by the mother. The wife cuts the husband's hair on every Sunday just to save money. You do your own cleaning, everything. All the gadgets are available. And people say, well, what's shame in working? There's no shame in working. But actually you want to enjoy. You came to America to enjoy. But you're working more than what you're doing in India. At least nobody, we don't find anybody cutting his own hair in his own house. So people don't understand. Anyway, so there is a common servant. First the mother-in-law. All three had connection with Srivas Thakur. The mother-in-law, not much is known about her name and about other behavior. But she was interested in at least this kirtan. That's a good point. So she said, she didn't ask. She decided, I'm just going to sneak in and watch what these people do. One point of information. With Lord Krishna's Leela or with Lord Chaitanya's Leela, there is no question of sneaking anywhere. Either in the realization, either in their dham, or either in their understanding. Just like today's CIA and FBI people are very worried that any terrorist may have a secret stolen. Like even on the internet you put this query, how to make a nuclear bomb, and you get some entries. So that is available. People are worried that this knowledge may fall into wrong hands. But It can never ever ever happen that somebody can just sneak in Krishna's pastimes, or somebody can sneak in Krishna Tattva. The thing is so tight. So this mother-in-law just decides to hide under some furniture or whatever, and decides to watch Lord Chaitanya's dance. So the devotees assemble, and Mukunda and the famous singers, they start singing. There are people who play mridanga, there are people who play kartals. And as Lord Chaitanya begins his rasa performance in the disguise of Sankirtan Leela, suddenly stops and he says, "My heart is saying that someone who is not supposed to be here is here. I don't know why I'm not getting that ecstasy." And everybody is worried. So what happened? So Shivas Thakur himself says, "Let me see." So he tries to see around if anyone has come in, and there he finds his own mother-in-law. He drags her out by catching her, and he said, "You dare just thought that you can just watch Lord Chaitanya's Leela like that?" So she got a lesson that unless you are favored by a devotee, there is no question of understanding. The second person who also had the same fate was a little better. He asked permission. A brahmachari came to Srivast Thakur and said, "I know what you people do here is something very sublime. But by the way, I am a pakka brahmachari. What to speak of following the rules of celibacy, I don't even eat grains. I only beg some little milk. That's what I do. So that should ensure that my heart is pure, my character is pure. So can I be allowed? Please." So Shivas Thakur says, "No, actually it's..." He says, "No, please, just once. Let me just get a glimpse of what's happening there, and I go out." So finally Shivas Thakur's heart melted and he said, "Just one glimpse, okay? And I'll hide you. And no more after that." He says, "Okay, fine." That time too, Mahaprabhu starts the kirtan and he says, it's like you taste some dish and you find that salt is missing or some sugar is missing, and you say, "Something is wrong with this. I don't know what, but something is wrong." So similarly, Lord Chaitanya stops the kirtan and he says, "Has anyone transgressed inside?" This time Shivas Thakur is worried. Last time his mother-in-law, he also didn't know. So he comes and he says that, "I'm sorry, my lord. On behalf of one person, I took this liberty of inviting this person." "Who is that person?" He said, "Well, he's a nice brahmachari. He's a practical nishkinchana. He doesn't have any possessions. Just begs little milk. Very learned, very austere." As he goes on describing this milk drinker, Mahaprabhu becomes more and more and more angry. And Shivas Thakur realizes that I'm doing something wrong. And then Mahaprabhu thunders, says, "Bring him here." Now that fellow, his legs have already given away. He cannot even stand. So he comes and he just falls flat and he says, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." And Mahaprabhu says, "Do you think that peddling your austerities and a little bit of knowledge and some penance, you can understand what pure Krishna bhakti is? Impossible." But now he already had a good heart, but just the devotee touch was not there. In the second canto, Prabhupada talks of bhakti yoga as the finishing touch. You know, just like something is made, but the master craftsman comes and he just adds a touch and now it's complete. So karma, jnana, yoga, whatever you do, you add a touch of bhakti and then that's complete. So Mahaprabhu says, "Look, my dear friend, Krishna is a friend of the fallen. Krishna is a friend of the meek, of the humble at heart. Do not try to conquer Krishna by these practices. There never had anyone, there never was anyone who had any success, nor will anyone be in the future. Go and cultivate some relationship with a devotee of Krishna. Chant Krishna's names, serve his devotees. And that brahmachari was overwhelmed. He said, yes, this is what I wanted. And the third, the pinnacle of this, is someone who neither knew what happened in the courtyard, nor what Lord Chaitanya meant, nor what his Panchatattva philosophy is, but a simple Shudrani servant. Of course, when we say Shudrani, we don't demean her. Her varna was just to serve. So when Lord Chaitanya, he did so many things in Srivasa's house. I'll just make the proper setting. He just came once, and while Srivasa was offering puja, Prabhupada said that, Prabhupada says the purport that every householder who has deity worship should have a small bed for Vishnu. Prabhupada says, it may be very small, but a bed should be there. So we don't know what bed was, whether big or small, but Lord Chaitanya sat on that bed. And he said, Srivas, look at me! The person you wanted to worship all your life, here he is. And Srivas was blessed with seeing Krishna face to face. One day Srivas was performing Shraddha for his father, departed ancestors. So he started chanting Vishnu Sahasranam. And suddenly the Lord appeared. And Mahaprabhu was hearing with great intent and love. And there is one name, Narasimha, in Vishnu Sahasranam. No sooner than he uttered Narasimha, Lord Chaitanya's body began to get agitated. His hair stood on end. He started growling, started roaring, started thundering, and people were saying, what did we do? We are sorry, we have done something. And then Srivasa Thakur said, my Lord, the people are afraid. So Prabhupada says the Lord adjusted his mind. He said, I have to check on my ecstasies. You know, sometimes they get beyond my control. So these are the things. There was a Muslim tailor. Now we know these local tailors we see in small towns. Just nondescript personalities. Somehow in front of him Lord Chaitanya came, showed him his God form as God, and that poor fellow just started shouting, I have seen. He said, what did you see? I have seen. But what? He couldn't describe it. So this is how the Lord behaves as a Swayam Bhagavan Krishna when he comes as Chaitanya, that these are his ecstasies. And one day when he decided to, like, even though devotees were, the Lord would protect his identity as Krishna and would portray himself as a bhakta, one day he decided to give a solid experience in God realization. He said, okay, now whoever wants to see me as God, with a capital G, you can see me. Prakash is manifestation. Mahaprakash is a big super manifestation. Sat Prahar. How much is Sat Prahar? 23 hours, something like that. 21 hours. 21 hours. He kept on asking devotees, what do you want? Take it. What do you want? Take it. Whatever you wanted, come to me as God, I'll give you. Of course, the devotees didn't want any material things. People wanted to see, I wanted to see you like this, I wanted to see you like that. My father is not a devotee, make him a devotee. My mother is not a devotee, my parents are not devotees, my husband is not a devotee. So people wanted all kinds of benedictions, they got all they wanted. The water which was used for Lord Chaitanya's Abhishek, water was given by household laborers. So afterwards Lord Chaitanya asked, who did that service? And Srivasa Thakur mentioned that we have one servant. Her name is Dukhi. Dukhi? In India, I just made some little research. If someone is having children who die, then there is a feeling that you give them some name like Garib Das. Garib Das, why Garib Das? That means no forces would look at him, he is Garib. So some communities have this feeling that you give someone a name which is so bad, inauspicious, that anyone who tries to kill him or whatever will not be attracted. So similarly, this Dukhi, why would someone give his own child the name Dukhi? But it is there. Lord Chaitanya said, no, she shouldn't be Dukhi, she should be Sukhi. Dukhi is unhappy, Sukhi means happy, and that's it. When he wills, when the Lord has some idea which comes to his mind, it is not just the idea, action follows. People may say, curse you, go to hell, you die. This is Murdabad. This politician is Murdabad. What does Murdabad mean? Let him die. Does he die? No. In Bengali, they are saying, Shakuni Shape Goru Morana. Shakuni is a vulture. The vulture tells a cow, you die. Why? So that I can eat you. That doesn't happen. But Krishna, Sankalpa Matrena Siddhi. If he just thinks about something, his thinking and that thing happening are non-different. Even in the material sense, sometimes it happens like that. A magistrate says, so under section 302 of the Indian Penal Code, I condemn you to be hanged till you die. That's it. The moment that fellow hears it, he sits down in the dock. Why? If the clerk says, you will die tomorrow, he says, go to hell, you know, I don't care. The police says, but when the judge says, there is no more recourse. So similarly, here is a case where what kind of penance, austerities, knowledge, puja, dham yatra, vratas, nothing. She was not told that if you give 100 pots of water, you will get pure bhakti. She selflessly served Shivas Thakur. She was not knowing maybe of his exalted nature, but that is the nature of devotional service. Some connection with a Vaishnav gives you so much result. And the opposite also is true. If we offend a Vaishnav, just like we see in this case of Dukhi, little connection and she got so much benefit. But you offend someone knowingly, and Shula Pani, of course it is not true that Lord Shiva can commit offenses or Lord Shiva falls down. But just to give us an idea that someone may be as powerful as Lord Shiva, but if he commits an offense, no recourse. Offense is called aparadh. Aradhana is worship. Upper, you are thrown off the track. So that if bhakti is like a locomotive engine, it needs two tracks. You have ever seen a train going in desert without any tracks? No. A train derailed is a useless train. It cannot walk on its own, it cannot run on its own. So the train of bhakti has to be on the tracks. Then of course, I just wind up in 2 more minutes. Shrivas Thakur had his niece, and it's a pastime, we know for sure. Shrivas Thakur was not even worried about his daily maintenance. But at one point of time, the opposition for his Sankirtan and everything was growing so strong that Shrivas Thakur appeared to be a bit worried. And the rumor was that the king of Bengal, at that time the Mohammedan king of Bengal, had already sent soldiers to catch all of those who take part in Sankirtan. And people are saying, we know. This Srivas is the ringleader. This fellow started everything here. So first of all, they'll catch him. And because he's in this town, these Mohammedans will not think whether only one person is guilty or others are not guilty. They will persecute us also. They will pollute our wives. They will kill our children. will destroy our houses. Let us destroy his house and throw in the Ganga before anyone does it. So as people were, and rumors, you know, they spread very quickly. So devotees were worried. And Srinivas Thakur, taking their worry on himself, spoke about this to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu said, you worry about these Mohammedan soldiers? Listen, Srinivas, I will do. I will call the king and say, bring all your horses and camels and all your animals. Now search out for all the most powerful mantras and hymns and songs in your scriptures. Bring out your best of mullahs and maulavis and let them sing to their heart's content. And make one animal transform. And no, they won't do that. They don't have that power. And then I will chant Hare Krishna. And I will make these animals dance. To make them aware as to what this Hare Krishna Mahamantra is. I'll make them cry, shed tears. Now previously, avatars and others had preached or just taken care of demons. But it was all restricted to human beings. But Lord Chaitanya, he didn't restrict that power of the holy name. So Srinivas Thakur was very happy. They were very joyful to hear that. But still, as another proof, Lord Chaitanya saw Srinivas Thakur's niece, Narayani, was playing there. 4 years old. What could a four-year, like this girl here, what could a four-year-old girl understand about Krishna Bhakti? She's like frolicking here and there. She was just a playful little girl. So Lord Chaitanya called her. He looked at her and said, chant Krishna. And the way she chanted, tears started flowing from her eyes, started shivering, started trembling, rolling on the ground at that age. Now the devotees are convinced that this Mahamantra is not some good luck mumbo jumbo. It is much more than that. It has supreme power. And of course that same celebrated Narayani became the blessed mother of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur. So, Srinivas Thakur is considered the Bhakta Pradhan, the leader of the devotees. It is described about Lord Chaitanya, Sangha Upaanga Astra. Every avatar means he has to have weapons. Parashuram, the name itself has a weapon in it, Parashu. Dashrathi Ram, the son of Maharaj Dashrath, had a bow and arrow. Hala Yudha, Balaram is a hala, plow as his weapon. All these avatars have their weapons. Durga, Chandi, other manifestations, they have so many weapons. Because materialistic people have to be, either they are happy that their deity has so many weapons to protect them, or sometimes if they are offenders, they have to be shaken that, you know, this deity is very powerful. You may escape one, but other, you may escape the knife. What about the bow and arrow? So they say, hey, you don't be worried about her. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are here, both two have their hands folded, three have their hands up. Where are the weapons? There are no weapons. The personalities surrounding Lord Chaitanya are the weapons. These are disguised weapons. Just like in Iraq, they said there are weapons of mass destruction. They didn't find any. So if you want weapons of mass destruction, not of material property, but of material anarthas, then the Panchatattva is full of them. But the weapons are the persons themselves. Sangha Upaanga. And in fact, these are not considered just associates. In Sanskrit, when somebody says to someone, anga, like Shukdev Goswami, when he would be exceptionally pleased by some query of Parikshit Maharaj, he would call, sometimes he would call Maharaj, sometimes Bharat, sometimes Vishnurath, sometimes Raja, but sometimes there would come, hey, anga, that means you are like my limb. If my hand goes in fire, how delicately I treat my own hand. If it gets hurt, I say, oh, my hand hurts. So just like you treat your own limb so delicately, with so much affection, it's part of me, it's me. That is how the Panchatattva is related to each other. Lord Chaitanya considers Srivas. He says, these four brothers have purchased me. I am their property. They can do whatever they want with me. Srivas would sometimes play jokes with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One day the devotees were loudly glorifying him. And Lord Chaitanya said, what is this? Instead of glorifying Krishna, you are glorifying me. Suddenly you decide to embarrass me today in front of everybody. So Srivas just did, there was a noonday sun and he just did something. He said, answer me Srivas, what is this you are doing? I am just trying to cover the sun. He says, what? He said, just like for me, an insignificant person, how futile it is to try to cover the sun with my palms. Similarly, it is impossible for me to cover your glories. It is impossible for you to cover your glories. This further embarrassed Lord Chaitanya. But that's how he would respect them. They are angas. So these four brothers, especially Srivas as the leader, very, very faithfully executed Lord Chaitanya's mission. And today on his disappearance day, we can suddenly beg mercy that they continue to shower their blessings on all of us, so that we also can be a part of their mission in any insignificant way. Because we see personalities like Dukhi, not much grand service, not much specialization, but some simple connection with a Vaishnav, and you get perfection of your life. So we'll stop here. I'm sorry for going much about time. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.